F2A. Number 11A.
We read on in the same vein. We come to verse 11. But I certified you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. Can you hear again repeating the same subject? He just wants to be sure that the Galatians know that he was not preaching from out of himself, his own opinions about it, his own theories, but it was not after men. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, the same thing. Just enforcing, we should never really teach, nobody should teach anything, except it comes from God and through the Christ revelation. If we teach from ourselves what we think and what our concept of science is, then we don't teach really the way Paul was teaching. And you know that those two verses, 11 and 12, are actually the scriptural note for the sixth chapter in the textbook of science, theology, and medicine. She introduces that because she too is teaching in that chapter what has been revealed to her. You know, she starts out in the year 1866. I discovered the Christ science, the divine laws of life, truth, and love, and called my revelation Christian science. I chose the same thing that she wants to say. What I present in the textbook is not from me, but it is from God and revealed through the Christ idea. And that's how we should teach too. Then we go on. You're still here. Teaching, the doctrine, interpreting, therefore it's all the tone of principle constantly. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He says, you know me. You know that first I was against the Christ, and I persecuted the Christians. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. He said, I have been really a model Jew. I really did everything and was perhaps more zealous than anybody else in the Jewish religion. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal the Son in me. Isn't that wonderful? That he revealed the Son in me. Again, you have God, when he pleased God to do what? The Word. To do what? The Christ. To reveal the Christ. Where? In me. In men. That I might preach him among the heathen. You see, now again he preaches, Again, the point of principle. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I did not confer with people. With flesh and blood was meaning with people. He goes on to show that he did not want to share his revelation right away with people and let himself be influenced by people and by people who would say, well, you are all on the wrong track and don't do this and don't do that. He said, I kept away from people. Again, principle versus people. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. So he says, I not even went to the headquarter. Up to Jerusalem, there was the headquarter of the Jewish Christian church, where James, John, and Peter were residing, those three pillars of the mother church in Jerusalem. So he said, I not even went up to the headquarters and told him what I have seen. I kept away from anybody and from everybody. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So he said, you see what he says. When he had that revelation, he didn't confer with people. He didn't ask the headquarter. He went right into Arabia, into the desert, where he was thinking about his revelation. He did something very wise. He had a revelation. He didn't expose that revelation when it was not yet strong enough to human opinion, or people's opinion. He said, I go and think about it and think about it and think about it, even if it takes me years and years. No, only after many, many years he felt, now I'm sure enough to meet Peter in Jerusalem. But he went up to Jerusalem just to see Peter, because he says, but other of the apostles saw I none. Again, he didn't want to be influenced by all kinds of human opinions. He didn't want to meet the whole gang there. Just felt, Peter may be the one who may understand me. Save James, the Lord's brother. James, who was the brother or stepbrother, one doesn't quite know, of Jesus. Now the things which I write unto you, see, which I write unto you, again, it's the message, the teaching, the doctrine, the interpretation. It says, that which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. It is a true interpretation. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. So after he had been in Arabia, he went into Syria, away from Judea. He didn't go to Judea, to Israel. He went away to, right away to Syria and Cilicia. Cilicia was even further north than Syria, was that what today is the southeast of Turkey. That was Cilicia. So he was going into the heathen country, so to say, into the Greek-occupied country. Into the occupied country of Greece. That extended at that time under the Roman Empire over the whole of the Asia Minor. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. He said, nobody in Judea knew me by face. They only heard of him, and that they heard of him that he was persecuting the Christian, that he had a revelation, and that he was reformed. They only heard of him, but nobody knew him. You see, after many, many years, I think it was about 7 years since that revelation, that he was saying that. So he was very careful. He didn't expose the little child to animal magnetism. He felt, I first have to nurture that child in silence and think about it and ponder about it. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So as long as they didn't know anything more about Peter, about Paul, what he was going to do on his missionary journey to the Gentiles, before they heard about that, they were glorifying God. Afterwards, it wasn't quite anymore the same. So all that story he just brings up to show, can you see that I received the doctrine from the Christ? I didn't receive it from men, nor was it from me, nor did I, when I got that revelation, try to get human opinions about it. I didn't want that other Christians would interfere with me and influence me with their opinion. Then, he goes on, then 14 years after, think of it, he had this terrific revelation, and still after 14 years he didn't say anything to anybody. He kept it for himself. You can see how wise he was, that he first had to search the scripture as he did and find out what the relationship is between the Old Testament and now the new doctrine, the law of Christ. And only then, 14 years later, also very precautiously, after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me too, with me also. Now, Barnabas was a Jew and Titus was a Greek, a Gentile. The one was circumcised, the other was uncircumcised. So he took both up with him to Jerusalem. And I went up by revelation. So again he would say, I didn't go up there because I made up my mind to go up there. He said, I can easily wait 14 years until I get the revelation to do something about it. Isn't it terrific how patience can work wonders? So he waited until the Christ again told him what would be the next step. And so he went up to Jerusalem by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. So he went up there privately, not as a big shot and making a lot of noise, just coming up and thinking, I want to talk with those three directors in the Mother Church, which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He wanted to make sure with them that what he is doing was right to do, and that he wants to discuss with them that what he was doing, I run, that he didn't do it in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, here you see it, he was a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. So he took as a first guinea pig with him, Titus, said, I wonder what will happen up there in Jerusalem when I take a Gentile with me to Peter, John, and James. What they will do, what their attitude will be. And so they didn't compel first Titus to get circumcised. So he had already won one point. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. See, what he says here is, he went up there in secrecy, so to say, to converse with Peter, James, and John, and he didn't want all the other apostles come in, or all the other church members come in, because he was afraid that they would accuse him by going to the Gentiles without circumcision, and that they would accuse him and bring him back into bondage, which means that they would try to force on him the doctrine that the Gentiles must first be circumcised or else they cannot become a Christian. So, five, to whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour. He said, I didn't give in, not for an hour. I didn't give in for an inch. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So he said, look here what I have done, you Galatians, you are Gentiles, to a great part you are Gentiles. What I have done, I prepared the ground so that you can become Christian without really some circumcision. You should really be a free people. So 6, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. Can you see again, he wanted to have it absolutely impersonal. That revelation must be impersonal. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So Peter, James, and John really didn't ask him anything else. So didn't add anything to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, in brackets, for he that wrote effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same, namely the same Christ, was mightily in me towards the Gentiles. So in these two verses you have the verse 8 repeats the verse 7. Again, to stress the point, he said, I made a, a testament with them, an agreement. I made an agreement with them that the Christ was had chosen Peter for the circumcised, and that the Christ had chosen Paul for the uncircumcised. And they agreed on those two different missions. So he said, well, we were all in agreement. The board of directors in Jerusalem was in agreement with it. So we separated in peace. And then he refers back now to what happened afterwards. 9. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, there were the pillars of the church there in Jerusalem, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. So they shook hands as a sign, we agree, that's a pact, that pact can stand, that's good. The right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So the only thing that Peter, James, and John asked of Paul was that if he goes around to the various churches, that he should collect money for the poor in Jerusalem and send a contribution to the mother church in Jerusalem. And Paul said, yes, I will do that, that's fine with me, I will do that. And actually he did it. He collected the money all over Asia Minor and Greece and everywhere and brought the money back to Jerusalem. So, can you hear up to this point that he was constantly talking about this one and the same thing? Right from the beginning of the chapter he was showing that he has been chosen by Christ to teach, to preach, to interpret the true gospel. And that was not given to him by men, by people, and he did not ask people if they agreed or not, but quite to the contrary, everybody agreed on his mission. And so we have a sense of principle that interprets and reveals itself constantly, that not men reveal the divine principle, but the divine principle reveals itself to men, to Paul. Is that clear? Now, if we take the epistle book at that point, just next to your Bible, afterwards we go back to the Bible text again. On page 92, we are in Galatians, right down where we have the message, and then further down the law, and then you have on the left-hand side, in italics, principle. So that's where the interpretation starts. That is where the epitomizing starts. So we take all that what we have been reading, a chapter and a half reading, and ask ourselves now, what is the subject of it, what is the core of that text, what is the pith of that text, and that is asking for an epitome, for a short statement that would state the essentials of the text. So an epitome would do that. Now I did that with you first and said, now could you see that all through those many verses he is constantly telling something about principle, revealing and interpreting itself, and that is free from human opinion, free from people. So I tried to epitomize it. So now you should see here why I arrived at that epitome. That says, through faith in the all-sufficiency of Christ, that's naturally the vertical of that is shown that, principle manifests itself as God's direct revelation. You have here God's direct revelation, principle revealing itself. But also I have said itself as God's direct interpretation. It's the same. And this frees us from the erroneous belief that revelations must be received through a person, or be supported by person, or agreed by person. You can see just those two points. Principally interpreting and revealing itself, people do not reveal the divine. That it must not be through people. And you will get the sense of principle versus person in the way of interpretation. Yes. So, we go back to the Bible, because there, where we left off, we will see that there is a break there, that he is now interested in another subject, and to constantly tell them that it was given to him the office, the job of preaching the new gospel. Now we come to something else. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, you know, Antioch was also there in what today is Turkey, at the sea, at the Mediterranean, also in the southeast corner. And Paul came from Antioch. So, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. He challenged him. He really challenged him. Because he was to be blamed. Gosh, the guts he had, huh? That he had the guts to say to Peter, who was the head of the Mother Church in Jerusalem, look here, people, I'm going to blame you. I'm going to blame you. Why? And now he gives the reason. For before that, certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And can you understand that verse? You see, it's not always easy to understand Paul's language. But he said, so Peter came down to Antioch, to his hometown. And Paul blamed him, because when Peter came down to him before James and the ambassadors of James came down, Peter did eat with the Gentiles, which a Jew is not allowed to do. A Jew was not allowed, according to the law, to eat with the Gentiles. That would pollute, really, the Jewish character. So Peter, when he came alone, he did eat with the Gentiles. But then he said, but when the others came, but when they were come, namely the others that were sent from James, and they were there, then Peter didn't anymore eat with the Gentiles. We can see it as we go on. They separated themselves. They were afraid, fearing them which were of the circumcision, fearing the Jewish Christian. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. So the other Jews didn't have the guts either. When they saw that Peter was separating themselves from the Gentiles, the other Jews said, well, we better go with Peter. Did therefore likewise. Insomuch that Barnabas was the Jewish Christian, also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, and now he tells what he blamed him, now it comes what he said to Peter, if thou, being a Jew, livest according to the manner of Gentiles, because he had eaten with the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He says, if you have lived with the Gentiles and eaten with the Gentiles, why do you ask then that the Gentiles should live also after the Jewish law, that I should be circumcised. We who are Jews by nature, because Paul was a Jew by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So he told them that they were justified not by the works of the law, but by the works of the Christ, by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So he really told him, write down. See. Was it clear what Paul was saying? Huh? He said, why on earth do you want the Gentiles to be circumcised so that they can eat with you? You had the faith in Christ and the doctrine of Christ, and you were at first honest to it, and you did eat with the Gentiles. You lived according to the Gentiles. And now suddenly you come because you are watched by the other directors, that you have no more the guts, and you go back to the law of the works. And you ask that if they want to eat with you, they first have to be circumcised so that they can sit at the same table with you, Peter. So he blamed him, really, truly. Yes. Yeah. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, simply justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, if therefore Christ, the minister of sin, God forbid, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, what did he destroy? He destroyed the works of the law. He destroyed that and said, I make myself a transgressor if I build it up again. I can't do that, Peter, what you do. We have destroyed the law of the works, the law of the works, to be justified by the works of the law. We have destroyed that. And now you come down and you destroy that again and build up the old law and say, I am only going to sit at the table with the Jews and not with the Gentiles. So if we do that, then we become again sinners and transgressors. And Paul wasn't for that.